Second Peter chapter 1. And this is our final message in this passage. And you could pray for me about where we'll be heading next. I'm not quite settled yet on that. I'd appreciate any prayers that you would have and how the Lord would direct us. But the topic today is love and diligently supplying love to our lives. Among other places this past week, my family and I were in Jasper. And when you think of Jasper, you think of the mountains. The tallest point in Jasper, of course, I didn't know this on the way there. I looked it up when I got home. But the tallest point in Jasper is Mount Columbia. And it stands an impressive 12,293 feet above sea level. So that mountain is the tallest point in all of Alberta. So it is the exalted. It has the exalted position in all of Alberta. And so we're studying love today. Love is kind of like that peak in Peter's list here. Love is the greatest commandment. It is the trademark of the believer. The very goal of the apostle's instruction, the apostle Paul's instruction in 1 Timothy 1:5, is love. And it is greater than any spiritual gift, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3. Love is the peak, the summit of all of the virtues that a Christian could supply to his life. And it is the last of Peter's virtues. It is well then, Peter recognizes it is the summit also. He knows this. Now, we studied love recently as a church, as we did a series on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I don't know about you, but as I testified in that series, that passage really wrecked me. It really did a number on me. And it turned my spirit and really changed me, changed my thinking about many things, about giftedness and the importance of that versus love and how much more important love is than giftedness. So love is so important. And we're going to talk about it once again today. And so let's read, as we study this passage for the last time, we'll read verses 1 to 11 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. And so this series has been entitled, How to Receive an Abundant Entrance into the Eternal Kingdom. And the way to do that, of course, is to practice these qualities that Peter is emphasizing here in verses 5 to 7. He says there, verse 8, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, you'll be useful and fruitful. And so in this way of these qualities, practicing these qualities, verse 11, for in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So our thought this morning that we're going to take home with us is that we need to sacrificially serve others by knowing God's love for us. Love others by knowing God's love for you. And so we need to be diligent to supply this, diligent to supply love to our lives. Again, verse 5, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply. Be diligent to supply these qualities to your life. So we need to work hard at seeking the Lord, that He would work these qualities in us. Particularly this morning, that He would work love in us. And so to emphasize this being diligent, I want to look at verses 8 to 11 this morning. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, okay, you possess them, you're increasing in them, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's one side of it. You'll be fruitful and you'll be useful in the hand of the Master. Okay, but there's another side to that, verse 9. For he who lacks these qualities, I mean, if they're yours and are increasing, you'll be useful and fruitful. But if you lack these qualities, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. And you would read in the commentary liturgy, you know, who is this talking about? Is this talking about somebody who's lost? Who thinks they're a Christian, but they're really not? Or is this talking about somebody who is a Christian, but they haven't grown like they should have? Okay, and there's that debate. Which one is it? At least it's calling into question whether this person is a Christian or not. Okay, so there's the need. You say, oh no, am I a Christian? I don't know. Does my life testify to the fact that I am a believer in Jesus Christ? Does my life testify that way? Well, that's a good question. How would one come to know this? How would one come to know that their life really does testify to the fact that they are saved and that they've been delivered from the power of sin? Okay, you would know that if you, verse 10, you are making your calling and God's calling of you and His choosing of you sure. You can make this sure. Did you know that? Well, I'm not sure. Well, you can make it sure. How can I make it sure if I'm a Christian or not? Well, this passage is talking about being diligent to supply these qualities to your life. You seek the Lord on these qualities and you really seek Him on this and you say, Lord, I really want to grow in this. And you seek Him on this and you find, and you're the Lord is ministering to you. Okay? And you find yourself growing in this. Well, that's a really good testimony that you've been saved from your sins. And that will help you then, verse 10, to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble, and you'll have that, verse 11, that abundant entrance into the kingdom. So the solution to doubting your salvation in part is to seek the Lord to grow in these qualities. It's a very important passage for anyone doubting their salvation. So we need our Father's encouragement, our Father in heaven, His encouragement to us today to be diligent about this. And to be diligent about growing in our love for other people. So we need to sacrificially serve others by knowing God's love for us. So what is love here? You've probably heard the term agape in the past. And we've mentioned it last time in our series as well. And many times you'll hear it as the highest form of love. Okay. Well, the first time that this Greek word agape is used in the Greek Old Testament is when Amnon had his half-sister Tamar, and the tragedy of that, and the disgusting act that was committed there, and this word agape is used there. Okay, so it's not necessarily used all the time as the highest form of love, okay? Agape is simply a general word for love. Like we use the word love, agape is similar to that. Okay, so it is a general word for love. So we want to talk about, of course, as we talk about Christian love, right? We talk about Christian love. The word love is used in the New Testament. It's used, of course, to refer to Christian love, what God's love for us and the way that we're to be loving God and loving others. Okay, so Christian love is what we're talking about, of course. But what is so often what comes to mind when we think of love? Or what comes to mind, what do you think, when the world thinks of love? What do you think? What does the world think about when the world thinks of love? Yeah,
well, the
David.
Way they portray it is that two people's eyes meet and there's this sudden magic that occurs. And somehow there's a flame that lights up, and then their job is to keep the flame going somehow.
Yeah.
Saying something stupid.
Okay. Very picturesque, David. Thank you for that. Yeah. Romantic love, right? I mean, that's, love at first sight kind of stuff, right? Yeah. Very good. What's that?
A feeling.
Yeah. It's a feeling in the world, isn't it? And of course, that's why people get married and divorced, because I feel like I love this person, but then, often, and then in the marriage, what happens? I don't feel like I love this person anymore. Right? And so then they want to get a divorce. Right? That's because they have the worldly viewpoint of love. Okay, and I think that that's probably the primary way that folks think about love in our world. And we got to admit that there's a battle going on in our minds, right? We too often think that way, right? Love is really a kind of a commitment. And it's a commitment to follow the Lord. And the way I have it defined here is that Christian love is an act of the human will. It's not feelings. Okay? It's an act of the human will, empowered by the grace of God to practice what we studied in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Refers to immorality. Does not seek its own. It's not selfish, it's not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Right? Never fails. See, there's an idea of commitment there. And the way we see this, of course, primarily, the ultimate display of love is found in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As we see it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved the world to this extent that he gave his only begotten Son, his unique Son he gave, that whoever believes in him, whoever trusts him, shall not perish. Eternally, the idea being, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Or Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, Paul writes, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me, died on behalf of all of my sin. He gave himself up for me. For even me. and even you. And you, Paul writes in Ephesians 2, were dead in your trespasses and sins. Dead in those sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, those lusts, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That's our awful condition apart from Christ. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I mean, look at the contrast that's there. Dead in all your transgressions, walking according to the course of this world, powered by Satan, walking according to the lust of your flesh, but God, being so rich in his mercy, because of the great love with which he loved you, caused you to be born again, made you alive together with Christ. And not only that, seated you with him in the heavenly places. Look at the contrast. Look at the difference. Oh, the glorious love of God, as the hymn goes. Who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free? I'll ever tell the story shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Even me did he ransom and save me from all of my sin. That's a glory. And that's because of the love of Jesus Christ. And so the love of Christ then compels me, it controls me, it urges me then to love others. Look what his love for me and where he took me from and where he's brought me to. And all that love that he has given to me. Now that's empowering me every day. It's empowering you. If you trust Christ this morning, it's empowering you to love others, not just the brethren, but all people, and even your enemies. Sacrificially serve others by knowing how much God has loved you. So the love of God is on mission today to rescue his people from certain eternal destruction, and to save them to a living hope in that one day we'll all have that glorious, transcendent, eternal experience of his majestic presence and glory. And he's doing that today. So, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another and love our enemies as well. Why? Because God loves his enemies. As Jesus said it, he says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. See, he loves his enemies. People are rebelling against him like that, right? And he's patient with them. And not only is he patient with them, but he's actively kind toward them, even though they are rebelling against him. And he's causing his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And Jesus says, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Nothing. I'll insert that. Do not even the tax collectors do the same? They love those who love them. If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? So we need to sacrificially serve others because we know that God has loved us and he loves his enemies. If God loved us to this extent, we ought to be loving others as he has loved us. So what does that look like? You know, you do want to just flesh this out, don't you? And put it, you know, and really get a good view of what love really looks like on a day-to-day basis. Maybe you have an example, or maybe you can think of something. What do you think? What does love look like? It doesn't look like the world, right? Smitten at first sight, right? That kind of a thing. But what does then Christian love really look like? What do you think? God is teaching you to love. I know He is. The Bible says so. So what does that look like? Give us a picture. Somebody give us a picture.
Giving of your time to help others.
Okay, giving of your time to help others. And of course, that's really hard when...
you're busy and you have stuff that you want to do.
Exactly.
Than, you know, give time to help somebody else in their needs.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
Yeah. Love is no record of wrong.
So, say that again, Jennifer.
Love is no record of wrong.
Oh, okay. Doesn't keep a record of wrong, right? Good, Shelby. Thank you. Anything else? What else can you think of? Okay, of course, you think of 1 Corinthians 13, don't you? Patience. Somebody said that a patient man is one who, having the resources and opportunity to avenge himself, chooses to refrain from doing so. Doesn't revenge. And it's very easy to take revenge, just with our words, just with our attitude, just in the way we say things, isn't it? Just in the tone of voice, right? But you know, all that starts in the heart then, doesn't it? It starts in the heart. And you can think those thoughts. Somebody takes your toy, right? Kids, anybody ever take your toy? Somebody takes your toy. Somebody scuffs up your bike, right? Those kinds of things, right? It's very easy to lash out, right? To give somebody your anger. Very easy to do that. But love, if you have love, right? Love is going to be patient. Love's not going to give that anger. Love's going to refrain from avenging itself. And they're going to be patient. That person will be patient. And kindness. So patience is when, you know, I don't give you my anger or displeasure. I hold myself back that way. But kindness now instead is active. And I'm going to instead now actively do something good. So, you know, say somebody does something evil to you or something that you don't like, not only do you not give them your anger or displeasure, you actively instead be kind to them, right? And how challenging that is. Jesus said, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. How easy it would be, oh, they're not thankful, why should I serve them? They're not being thankful to me. Okay, now your Father in heaven is so kind to ungrateful people. I mean, you have billions of examples of that. And we can do that too by His grace. So we need to let that light of ours that He has in us to shine forth.
In our... Yeah, not loving as well. You know, having that love to actually go out and share the gospel and take that extra step, you know. Like, it's an inconvenience for us to go and talk to somebody about the truth that we have for eternal life. That's selfish. That's basically the opposite of loving somebody, right?
Yeah, that's right. Good point. Okay, and just, I'm not going to go over all of these this morning, but not jealous, not being jealous or envious, which is this anger-filled desire for something that somebody else has. Love doesn't respond that way. And love is not easily provoked, not easily angered. You know, we get a picture of each other on Sunday morning, right? We sure do. We get a picture of each other on Sunday morning, you know, and I probably got my best foot forward, right? I mean, I'm standing here, right? I got a Bible in my hand, right? You know, you're kind of the same way in a sense. We all get a picture of ourselves. But if you took a picture of me at my house after a long day on a Tuesday, right?
I think you're a guy who runs around kicking dogs.
Yeah. When I come and, you know, and I come home and I'll, you know, the kids are all swinging from the ceiling fan, right? When I walk in the door. What kind of a picture would you get of me then? If I'm exhausted and then somebody rubs me the wrong way, right? Would that picture be that I'm provoked, that you're similar situation, that you're provoked? Would that be a picture of you? No, shouldn't be, right? Love is not easily angered like that. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Or, love is not easily offended. You can think of it that way. Love is not offended. Love refuses to account for personal wrongs. I'm not going to account for a personal wrong. I'm not going to make that one a big deal. I'm not going to harbor that wrong against them. They did this to me. Okay, that one's going to go. Not pondering that or meditating on that. Love refuses to account for personal wrongs, but forgives just as God does. So kids, I want you to think of this. I want one of the kids to tell me, how were people mean to Jesus? How were they mean to Jesus? Samantha. Okay. All right. That is true. Okay. That's being mean to him. That's good. Now, and as well, when Jesus was on earth, what did they do to him? Oh. Okay, and they whipped him too. They put him on the cross, right? Yeah, that's not very kind. Now, the big question, of course, is how did Jesus respond to that? Do we really soak this in? I mean, how did Jesus respond? Does anybody remember a word that he said or anything like that? How did Jesus lash out at them and get angry at them? Is that what Jesus did? No? What did he do? Do you remember anything? Okay, good. Because what did he say? And it says in the text, as they were nailing him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. As they are driving those nails through his hands and feet. That's what he's saying. That's amazing love. That is patience and being forgiving. Now, that's what we ought to do, right? I mean, I haven't been crucified by somebody, right? And by his grace, he's teaching me to love. And so I ought to be able to be patient with others too. And to be kind to them. So, kids, this is one of the things that I keep saying in my home regularly. Talking about taking offense. You do not have a right to be offended like that. That's what I say in my household. All of my kids get that from time to time. You do not have a right to be offended or to be upset because they did that. You don't have that right. And so I tell the kids, I say to them, I don't care if they hit you in the face. Well, okay, I do care about that if that happened. Okay, I'm not saying you understand what I'm saying. But I don't care if they hit you in the face. You don't have a right to be angry or to be offended. Because sometimes we think, I do have a right, and I should be able to respond this way. That is not true. And that's, you do respond that way because you do feel like you have a right to respond that way. Okay, so that language is going on all the time in our house. You do not have a right to be upset about it, even if they've hit you in the face. Love is not easily offended. So we need to help our kids in the home to grow in their love in this way. So how do I add this to my life? How do you add love to your life? This is really the big question, isn't it? Maybe you've gotten some examples over the weeks here that we've studied this, but I just thought I'd throw that out there as a question before I answer it as well this morning. But so what are any thoughts that you have about adding love to your life? If somebody came to you and they said, you know, boy, I just really struggle with that issue. I'm taking offense. You know, somebody looks at me the wrong way, and I, you know what I'm saying? And I just get so upset when they do that. And they come to you and they say, how do I grow in love? How do I grow in this love? What would you tell them? Aaron?
Well, I just think about in 1 John, it talks about how we love them if he first loved us. And so maybe I'd encourage them, and like myself too, to go to the Word and just see what God has done in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And ask him to cause us to be able to love like he loved.
Good. Good. I think you hit two of mine on that one. Good. Any other ideas? David.
Help them to rightly esteem who sin is against primarily.
Mm.
And to actually put it in focus the next time they are offensive to somebody.
Mm. Good. So like a little self-reflection that they do this kind of thing too.
How hard do you put it on yourself?
Mm.
And if you are, as hard as you're putting it on them, you're wrong in both cases.
Yeah, good, good. Okay, that sin is against God. And that, I sin and this, they, you know, they've wronged me, but I wrong people too. And I'd appreciate them being patient with me.
In both cases. Primarily God.
Yeah, yeah, good. Okay, anything else? Any other ideas? How to add love to your life?
I was really impacted by the 1 Corinthians 13 messages that Greg did. And I'd also heard years ago that if you spend a year just doing one thing and you conquer that thing, then that's a year well spent. And so this year, starting in January, I decided I would saturate myself in the topic of love. And so for the last, 7 months or so, I've been studying through 1 Corinthians 13 and studying love. And so and trying to get that in my life since it is the greatest. So if I would say that, give someone a recommendation, I would say just saturate yourself in that topic and meditate on it.
Yeah,
on that all the time until that becomes like a natural part of
things. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Good. So I have a few things here. One is that this, of course, there's nothing you can really do about this other than trust Jesus for salvation. Love is a characteristic of the Christian life. It is inherent in the Christian life. To some degree, as Romans 5, verse 5 says, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the love of God is poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's characteristic of the Christian life. Like 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9 says, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. See, God is teaching Christians, his people, his children. He's teaching them to love one another. And that's why the Apostle John can say in 1 John 4, 7 to 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if one does not have this quality of Christian love, this person is not a Christian. Love is inherent to the Christian life. And so the more actionable items, as we've mentioned already, yes, meditating on God's love for you. So we understand that God has loved us. We understand how much God has loved us. That will help us to love others. Okay, so if you want to know how much do you understand the love of God, you want to know that for certain, just see what it looks like, how much you're loving other people, right? So if you are having trouble with patience, kindness, and, you know, and nobody, of course, is perfect in any of this, but if this is just, I mean, somebody looks at you the wrong way and you're having a problem, okay, you can then determine that you have a little understanding of God's love, little understanding, okay? But if somebody crucifies you and you can say, Father, forgive them, okay, now you have big understanding of the love of God. Okay, so we do need to meditate on God's love for us in the Scripture, and as well in our day-to-day, right? I mean, you think about that passage from Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said that God loves his enemies, right? And we're to love our enemies. I mean, we're to be like our Father in heaven who sends his rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. He does do that, and he does that for you. He does that for your neighbor, you know, who doesn't know the Lord, and he's doing that for them, and he's providing for them food. He's providing for you food and clothing, shelter, and nourishment, and safety. And boy, that was a close call, right? And he helped you there, right? And so, you know, he really is in the providence of his action, in his providence, he is so very kind and loving towards you. And of course, that specific love, I mean, just take a deep look at the cross. Look at Ephesians 2 at the beginning and see where he's brought you from and see where he's taking you to, from the depths of depravity and hell and eternal destruction to the glories of heaven and eternal life and being seated with Christ. Okay? And just look at the contrast there in Ephesians 2 at the beginning. And then recognize that it is compelling you, God's love is compelling you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15, Paul writes here, he says, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And so, sacrificially in serving others because of the love of Christ that has been displayed there. Yes, now by his grace, I want to sacrificially serve others because I understand the love of God. Okay, so we're meditating on God's love for us. I mean, you could take 1 Corinthians 13, as Ruth pointed out. You could take 1 Corinthians 13 and take each one of those qualities and meditate on each one of them. And then finally, pray for it. Pray that God would help you. This is Paul's example in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, where he says, he's praying that we may be able to comprehend, that we could understand with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So praying that you would truly be able to comprehend the love of God in Christ. And I remember, and I mentioned this before, this is one of those verses that I would take around my Walkman when I was newly saved, and I would play this verse over and over and over again along with some others, and that the Lord would give me a deeper understanding of the love of God in Christ. So really give attention to that and pray for that. And give some diligence then. As in 2 Peter here, this passage, and again, as I mentioned last week, you may feel like that you haven't given the attention to it that you've wanted to, and by God's grace, he's still giving you time to do this. So I would really recommend that you give some time and effort to these qualities in 2 Peter and read over those, study those words, look up other passages about those words, and give your heart and give some energy to it. Seek the Lord that He might work those qualities deeper into your heart and that you could bear this kind of fruit because you know you want an abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, you know, as you work on those qualities, you'll have a deeper assurance that you are a Christian and that you are His child. And you'll have fruitfulness and you'll be growing in your fruitfulness in the Master's hand as He uses you in the lives of others. And yes, that abundant entrance into the kingdom. And then you'll hear on that day, if you give your heart to these qualities and seek the Lord on them, you'll hear on that day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your great work and the love that You've displayed to us in Christ Jesus. And we were in the depths of despair and deserving of wrath, children as children of wrath. By nature, we alienated from You. But by Your grace and by Your mercy, You saw us in our great need. And You reached down and You lifted us up out of that miry pit and set our feet upon a rock. And not only that, You have seated us together with Christ in the heavenly places, so that in that future age You will be able to put on display all of Your glorious grace and wisdom and mercy and love. So Father, thank You that we are a part of Your glorious plan and Your Son's wonderful mission of saving His people from their sins. And we are so thankful that by Your grace we are a part of it. And so we pray that we would take hold of Your love for us and soak it in and really be moved by Your love, that we would grow and stand up and love others with boldness and with care and with joy in our hearts, and that we might be going about our days full of praise for You, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for You, our Father. Thank You so much. So help us to give attention to these words as we've studied them over the past weeks, and may we all experience in that future day that well done, good and faithful servant, and may we hear that from our Savior's gracious lips and know of that abundant entrance into the kingdom of our Savior. Thank You so much, our Father. And we ask this now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, let's pray together again this morning. And what are some requests that we have today? Any prayer requests? Did I miss one? No? Okay. Any prayer requests? Aaron?
For Kayla for salvation.
I'm sorry, who?
For Kayla.
Kayla. For salvation.
A Roman Catholic.
And, okay.
I think hopefully they'll have some conversations about that. So.
Great. Great. Good. Kayla. Oh, and that reminds me, yeah. Pray for Riley. I met Riley this past week. We had our tire, kind of a tire issue. We had it fixed the week before, and it leaked a little bit or whatever, and I got a tire pump at one of the campsites there from Riley, and we kind of talked a little bit and gave him a little, I guess you could say, a homemade gospel tract and a scripture verse in it and things. So, and one of Mr. Steve's set of lollipops, so... So Riley, pray for his salvation. Kayla, Riley, anything else? Janessa. Neil and Lisa, good. Wisdom for them. Great. Okay. Oh. Uncle Dennis there in his salvation. Good. Okay, so Dennis and Kayla and Riley.
I always feel as though the time can change. And again, our church body kind of changes. Some people that were here now are leaving. I think it's Maya. She's actually traveling right now back to Miller, so praying for her. Hannah as well left this weekend. She's heading back to school. Laura leaves on Thursday. She will be heading to school.
Okay.
Jessica is not going to school, but she'll be staying home, doing school. Just feel like there's lots of always changes. Just,
mm-hmm.
You know, Lisa, like Janessa said, people that have been part of our church body are now moving and leaving us for a time.
Yeah. Good. Pray for their safety and. Yeah. Good. Good. All right. Well, let's pray together. Who would, David, you have?
Just what's been on my mind for the last week or two heavily is how the church can really love one another in this climate and time and become like a weird reset with COVID and all these things. Like before then, like not just this church, but the many churches have a hard time seeing or knowing each other from Monday to Wednesday, you know. And
right.
Myself included.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of an issue that is modern and is a problem in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's just me, sort of.
Yeah, no, loving others can be a challenge during this time, that's for certain. Yeah. Yeah, good. All right, who would open us in prayer, and then we'll have somebody to close us. Melinda wants to open, great. And who would close us? Caleb? Excellent, in that order, great.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come as a body of believers and that we can gather together. Lord, we do think of lost people that are in our lives. Father, I do think of Kayla, Karen's friend. Father, I do pray for salvation for her. Father, I pray that even as Aaron gets to know her, other people interact with her. I pray that she will have softening towards her. She will see your hand around her and knowing that it's because of you, Lord, that she exists. Father, I pray for a softening of Kayla's heart. As well as Riley, even though there was a brief interaction that the pastor and his family had with him, I pray, Father, for him, Lord, that there would be some type of desire that would be in his life that he'd wonder who you are, wonder why he was created. So, Father, I do pray for him, as even as he ate his lollipop, and Lord, I pray, Father, that there would be some, that he would know that he was touched by your love, Lord. So I do pray for Riley. I think of Dennis as well. Father, he lost his wife this year. Father, he's an unsaved man who's in desperate need of you as well. So, Father, I do pray for Dennis. I pray for his siblings as well, that some of them are not saved. I pray, Father, there'd be a softening in this man. Lord, wondering what he will do without his wife, but wondering, Lord, who will sustain him and love him. I pray, Father, that he would as well come to an understanding of who you are, that you would save this man. Father, we think of our town of Athabasca. We know there are many unsaved people here. Father, pray that you would give us insight this winter, Father, who to find that we can show love to, that we can get into their lives. Father, as many of us here, Lord, if each of us reach out to one person around us and show love to them, Lord, that there will be more people in the kingdom. Help us to be faithful as a church family to show love to many people around us. pray for the people that were leaving us, and that there's always change happening around us, and we'll have new people come through our doors, and there'll be people that will be leaving our church body. I do pray for the ones that have been part and integral part of our church, Lord, as they are now leaving and pursuing different things. I pray that you would go before them and strengthen them, help them to be faithful, help them to impact people that they're around for your glory. And Lord, protect them. I think of Janaea right now, she's traveling. Father, protect her as she drives. Help her to have a sense of your comfort that you are with her, and that you will be continuing to change her in her life, Lord. And for other ones that are like Hannah, who will be part of another church body, pray that she would be an encouragement to that body of believers. She would also be growing in her faith. And Neil and Lisa, Lord, as they will be back for just a brief time before they carry on and move to a different spot, Lord, I do pray that you would guide them as they have things that they have to take care of here before they embark on again a new new ministry and mission. Lord, may they be used by you in a great and mighty way for the people that they will be around. We will encourage that small body of believers that are down there, that they would be very useful. And as Lord, that you would help them to reach kids for your glory, that they would receive much fruit. So Lord, we know that you are faithful. You hear us. Lord, we do pray, trusting and believing that you will go before us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your precious name, Lord.
Hear me, Father, Lord, thank you for giving us another opportunity to come here together and dive into your word. Lord, thank you for the sermons that we've been going through here over the number of weeks. Just looking there. About our grand entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, as we see those different qualities, please help us to apply those to our own life and to really take those things to heart. Lord, as we think about loving others around us, we think about the opportunity that we have when we leave here and the interactions that we have around us as we leave this place. Lord, please help us to make the most of those conversations that we have. When we think about those conversations that have already happened, we brought forth this morning. Lord, we think about Pastor and his opportunity there to make that home track for Riley. We pray that that interaction will leave an impact in Riley's life, and he will really be able to look after and seek after the things the pastor has told him. And we're thinking about Erin and her friend Kayla as well, Lord. Please help Erin to be that influence in Kayla's life, to show her the truth from your word and not some truth from a man-made religion that we have here on earth, Lord. And we also pray for Neil and Lisa and their ministry down there in the States. We pray that they would be able to be an encouragement to those down there to really add to the ministry and not distract or take away in any way. We also pray for Dennis there, Lord, as he is unsaved. We pray for his salvation, for him to come to know you at this time that he's going through. I'm sure a time of grief and struggle. And we pray that you give him comfort in this time and find the peace that only you can provide. We think about those who are heading back to school. We think about Janae, who's driving there now, and Laura, who's going to be heading out as well, that they would be able to study and put their best foot forward in their studies. Also, to be a shining example to those who they come to contact with as they make new friends and interact with different people. And Lord, we pray that we would also, just here in the Athabasca area, have that outreach, you know, find those people who may not be the first people we would naturally talk to or we would have interactions with. Lord, please help us to be able to take that step out of our comfort zone, to show that love, to give of ourselves, and to help these people, to show them the true love that only you can provide. Praying that for all these things here now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much. We'll have our singing time in just a moment. We're dismissed.